Ellen White's presentations at the 1909 General Conference Session. So Ellen White came before the General Conference Session first with her address on May 26 on a lesson in health reform, using the experience of Daniel and his companions as an example. She read the first chapter of Daniel and then commented. This record contains much of importance on the subject of health reform. In this our day, the Lord would be pleased to have those who are preparing for the future, immortal life follow the example of Daniel and his companions in seeking to maintain strength of body and clearness of mind. The whole address is an appeal calling for renewed dedication to the health reform principles in their broad sense, but emphasis was placed on diet. Let no one think he can do as he pleases in the matter of diet. But before all who sit at the table with you, let it appear that you follow principle in the matter of eating, as in all other matters, that the glory of God may be revealed. You cannot afford to do otherwise, for you have a character to form for the future, immortal life. Intelligence is a gift of God, she declared, one that He desires us to use to His glory. Students need not talk of their attainments in the so-called higher education if they have not learned to eat and drink to the glory of God, and to exercise brain, bone, and muscle in such a way as to prepare for the highest possible service. And she urged that a great work is to be done, a work that we have scarcely begun as yet. Then on Monday morning, May 31, she came before the session to read her prepared statement on faithfulness in health reform. The script from which she read contained a major portion of her letter addressed to Elder Daniels on March 29, 1908, dealing with backsliding in health reform, much of it word for word, some parts paraphrased and adapted for the occasion. She did not, however, make reference to an anti-meat pledge, a message she originally intended particularly for workers at the headquarters in Washington. Ellen White read solemnly, and the hushed audience listened carefully to these words. I am instructed to bear a message to all our people on the subject of health reform, for many have backslidden from their former loyalty to health reform principles. God's purpose for His children is that they shall grow up to the full stature of men and women in Christ. In order to do this, they must use aright every power of mind, soul, and body. They cannot afford to waste any mental or physical strength. The question of how to preserve the health is one of primary importance. When we study this question in the fear of God, we shall learn that it is best, for both our physical health and our spiritual advancement, to observe simplicity in diet. Let us patiently study this question. We need knowledge and judgment in order to move wisely in this matter. Nature's laws are not to be resisted, but obeyed. Those who have received instruction regarding the evils of the use of flesh meats, tea and coffee, and rich and unhealthful food preparations, and who are determined to make a covenant with God by sacrifice, will not continue to indulge their appetite for food that they know to be unhealthful. God demands that the appetites be cleansed, and that self-denial be practiced in regard to those things which are not good. This is a work that will have to be done before His people can stand before Him a perfected people. See, for the full text. As she continued to read, she touched on the point of believers who accept certain portions of the testimonies as the message of God, while they reject those portions that condemn their favorite indulgences. God requires continual advancement from His people, she urged. After pointing out the unfavorable effects of using flesh foods, she made a very understanding and enlightening statement, recognizing varied conditions in different parts of the world. We do not mark out any precise line to be followed in diet, but we do say that in countries where there are fruits, grains, and nuts in abundance, flesh meat is not the right food for God's people. And she declared, we are not to make the use of flesh meat a test of fellowship, but we should consider the influence that professed believers who use flesh meats have over others. Then, challenging, will any who are ministers of the gospel, proclaiming the most solemn truth ever given to mortals, set an example in returning to the fleshpots of Egypt? Will those who are supported by the tithe from God's storehouse permit themselves by self-indulgence to poison the life-giving current flowing through their veins? Will they disregard the light and warnings that God has given them? She called for an educational program in which cooking schools would be held, and urged that house-to-house instruction be given. She cautioned against extremes in health reform and dealt with the question of the use of milk and eggs, and the result of abandoning their use prematurely. The appeal closed with the assurance of the blessings that God has in store for those who follow wholeheartedly the light He has given on health reform. The entire address was published a few months later in Testimonies, Volume 9, as a permanent reminder and counsel to all Seventh-day Adventists and to those who would join the church.